Our gospel reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 22, verses 23 through 33. Listen for the word of God. The same day, some Sadducees came to Jesus, saying there is no resurrection, and they asked him a question, saying, "Teacher, Moses said, if a man dies childless, his brother shall marry his widow and raise up children for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers among us. The first married and died childless, leaving the widow to his brother. The second did the same, and so also the third, down to the seventh. Last of all, the woman herself died. In the resurrection, then, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had her, all had married her." Jesus answered them, "You're wrong, because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels in heaven. And as for the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was said to you by God? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." And when the crowd heard it, they were astounded at his teaching. The Gospel of the Lord. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for these challenging and confusing teachings. We pray that you will enlighten our eyes, our minds, and our hearts, that we will understand what you have to say to us through them. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. That's a fun couple passages, right? So imagine for a moment that whole "in the age to come they will not be married or given in marriage." Imagine hearing that as a teenage boy, or perhaps as a teenage girl. Also imagine that you are imagine that you'd been also raised to believe that sex is perhaps the greatest thing that you can enjoy on this earth. And reading that, also imagine that besides dying, there's another thing that could happen at any moment, and it's the return of Jesus. So there is this possibility that a young me, or lots of other young people, could either die or be raptured and miss the opportunity to have sex. That was, it was kind of scary. And it concerned an entire generation. There was actually, I kid you not, someone made a documentary titled, "Jesus, Don't Let Me Die Before I've Had Sex." It was a matter of deep concern for a whole generation of young Christians. Now, C.S. Lewis, you've heard of C.S. Lewis. He had I forget which of his books, but he had this analogy of, like, imagine that you're like a child playing in the mud. This child is going to have no notion of what a trip to the seaside could be, and they're just going to want to play in the mud. And Lewis says that this is really what the future of God has available. It's like a trip to the seaside, and we want to stay playing in the mud. I appreciate that analogy, C.S. Lewis, but I have a different analogy for you. Who here would be willing to raise your hand and say that your favorite restaurant, your absolute favorite restaurant, is McDonald's? Anybody? Then it's just Ryan. But here's the deal. McDonald's, as you may know, closed in Russia. McDonald's closed all their Russian franchises. And do you know what happened? People in Russia stockpiled McDonald's. Not because it was so fantastic, maybe they thought it was, but because it was about to be a thing that they were not able to have. So if you're getting where I'm going, C.S. Lewis. But what is this passage really about? This New Testament passage, not the passage that made Robert go, "This is the word of God?" This passage here, for one thing, it's a trap for Jesus. Basically, they're saying, in the resurrection, whose wife will this one person be? It's a choice, right? They're saying, in the resurrection, then you've got polygamy, and that's bad, right? So they're basically asking Jesus to say, you've either got polygamy, you have to make a really weird choice, which of the brothers gets to be married to this woman, or you could just take the easy way out and side with us and say there is no resurrection. No Sadducee joke, no Sadducee joke. But Jesus replies with what is perhaps my favorite comeuppance in the entire Bible. My favorite version is actually the Mark version, where he says, is this not why you are wrong? Because you understand neither the scriptures nor the power of God. He doesn't say, you're wrong. He says, isn't this why you're wrong? You're wrong is assumed. He's like, but isn't this the reason? I think that's fabulous. But the Sadducees have a point, right? You've seen the 1990s Titanic movie, right? Anybody? Titanic? Am I the only one who's seen that? Who's going to admit that I've seen it? Okay, so in Titanic, y'all, for if you missed the movie, it's about a girl named Rose who rides the Titanic. She meets a charming young man named Jack who, I don't want to spoil it for you, drowns at the end when, again, not wanting to spoil it, the Titanic sinks. The guy, Jack, dies of hypothermia, and then she goes to America and marries some guy named Calvert, I think it is. And they have a long relationship. They're married for years. And then at the end of the movie, when Rose dies, they imagine an afterlife for Rose where she finds her way back onto the Titanic and is reunited with her first love, Jack, which is so beautiful and sweet. But what about Mr. Calvert? Like, she spent an entire lifetime married to this guy, and she's spending her imagined afterlife in a completely different place with somebody else. So this is a real problem, okay, that the Sadducees put up there? No Sadducee joke. But we've got these two problems, though, right? Teenage version of me, you know, no sex in heaven, and Mr. Calvert, what happens if you've been married more than once? I think part of this you can find in the context. First off, why did Robert read that very fascinating passage that sets this up in the law? I have an idea about that. The answer is another story that will hopefully show you that it's an important step in taking care of widows. Because notice, Robert read, it said that it was the brother's duty. Which is an interesting thing, right? The brother's duty is to give her a baby. Because women in the ancient world did not have a huge amount of power. There was generally, you couldn't own land, things like that. So if you're going to be provided for as a woman and you don't have a whole lot of options other than male husband or male child, so to be taken care of, your husband's brother has to give you a baby. I didn't make this up. This is your ancient culture. That's why that's in there. In fact, there is a fascinating story that I don't remember if I've told it in church, but if I haven't, you probably haven't heard it. There's a guy named, I forget what his name is. Judah. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Judah. Judah has a son, and his son marries a woman. And then, again, I didn't put this in the Bible, but it says, the Lord hated him, and the Lord killed him. So the older brother dies, and he has a younger brother named Onan. And Onan will not do the duty of a husband's brother to his wife, and it says the Lord killed him too. I'm not going to touch that. Anyway, so Onan dies, and this widow sets herself up on a road, knowing her father-in-law is going to be going through that way because they have a third child. There's a third brother. And his father, Judah, is like, well, let's think. So the older brother was with her. He died. The second brother was with her. He died. Third brother, that's my last son. I don't feel comfortable with that. You see where we're going? I don't feel comfortable with them being together. So he's just stalling and putting it off and putting it off. And finally, the wife, Tamar, actually. You know what? I have told this story before. I told it around Advent, I think. Yeah, Tamar goes, I see what this guy is doing. There's a pattern of nothing happening. So what I'm going to do is set myself up as a temple prostitute along the road, and we will get a baby that way. And her father-in-law comes by, and she gets pregnant. This is in Genesis 38. I invite you to look it up. But it's in there because this law that Robert read is to say, you have to do this. You have to take care of your women who are in this lower social standing. It's sort of a patch for the real problem, right? What's the real problem? Women don't have any power or social standing, I think, is the real problem. So the patch is, we have to make sure that women who have this lower social standing are protected and have men available. But again, the problem is low social standing. And you see that this is sort of continuing in Jesus' day, right? They're asking, whose wife will she be? And Jesus' response is, they will not marry or be given in marriage. Who does the marrying? Men. And who gets given in marriage? Who gets given away at the altar? The girls, the wife, the woman gets given away. So Jesus says, in the age to come, there will be no marrying, nor will there be anyone given in marriage. I hope I'm on the right side. There's no marriage. There's no being given in marriage. Wilda Gaffney, in her women's lectionary for the whole church, which we're using, she talks about that, and she says, women are basically still being treated like objects to be given. And Jesus is saying, in the age to come, it's not going to be like that. Even as this system is set up to protect women, it's a system that requires them to marry the sibling of their spouse. Anybody would sign up to be married to the sibling of your spouse? Not me. I mean, I have charming sister-in-laws. They are lovely, but no. I'm married. I really enjoy being married. But there are people who are really, really obsessed. We're talking Christians here, who are really obsessed with the whole hierarchy of marriage as was practiced in biblical times. And they're like, this is the way it was practiced in biblical times. This, therefore, it's God's will for all people, for all times, for the men to be at the head and the women and then the children, sort of that hierarchy. And Jesus says, in the age to come, there's not going to be marriage. So it's amazing because there's these people who've set up this entire system, this entire theological system around God ordained the man to be in charge and the woman below and then the children. And I'm imagining those people waking up in the presence of God and going, so what's up with the marriage thing? And Jesus is like, did you not get that memo? Marriage as an institution is not a thing in the age to come. So, for the fictitious Mr. Calvert, and to everyone going, whose wife will she be? I want to go back to a book I read in seminary called The End of Memory by Jürgen Moltmann. And he says basically that God will put everything right that went awry. That he says, I shall come back to my life, and in the light of God's grace and in the power of God's mercy, put right what has gone awry and heal the hurts. So maybe there's a version where Rose makes it back to the Titanic and sees Jack. I don't know. And somehow able to wrap things up with Mr. Calvert too. I don't know. And to my teenage self, this idea of what happens, I would point out just one little observation. Jesus says no marrying, no given in marriage. Jesus does not say that there's no sex. That's all I've got on that. Jesus doesn't say that there's no sex. He doesn't even say that there's no relationship or no romance or just that there's no marriage or being given in marriage. I have to believe that in the age to come, everything's better than it is in this one. That is what people generally believed about the resurrection in Jesus' day. Baruch 73, I think it is. I want to say verse 5. It's an apocryphal book that was assigned. The person who wrote it sometime in the first century. And I thought I had that quote. I don't have it. But he basically says that in the age to come, there won't be any pain in childbirth, and just things will be broadly better. This was a contemporary of Jesus, probably, or soon thereafter. There was this broad idea that in the resurrection, things are going to be better, not worse, and that many things that are good will continue as they are. The Sadducees, who don't understand either the scriptures or the power of God, according to Jesus, they're imagining a world in which, or an age to come, in which something that they've experienced is good, which is marriage, continues. But the thing is that for the women, they may not have experienced that as quite so good. And Jesus says, there's no marrying nor given in marriage. And then, of course, for the folks who are really wanting to hold on to that hierarchy, that stuff is the stuff that's passing away. The kind of marriage that Jesus says is not happening in the age to come. That thing that gives men power at the expense of women, the kind of system that led to women having to get pregnant via their husband's brother. All I've got to say for that is, sorry, isn't this why you're wrong? You don't understand the scriptures or the power of God. Let's go to the table before things get worse. All you who are thirsty, come to the water. Whoever has no money, come buy food and eat. Without money, at no cost, buy wine and milk. This is the table, not of Fairplain Presbyterian Church, but of God, and it is made ready for those who love God and for those who want to love God more.